All right, VoiceOver Body Shop, after our intrepid visit to the NAB conference in Vegas. But tonight we've got a great guest. Bill Farmer, the voice of Goofy and a bunch of other great animation voices, is going to be here. You've got lots of cool tech stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to share a story about a PC, ladies and gentlemen.
You mean that computer thing?
The other white meat.
All right. Well, that and lots of other stuff on VoiceOver Body Shop coming right up.
Two men, twin sons from different mothers, with a passion for voiceover recording technology and the desire to make recording easy for voice actors everywhere, together in one place. George Whittam, the home studio engineer to the stars, a Virginia Tech grad with an unmatched knowledge of all the latest gear and technology in voiceover today. Dan Leonard, the home studio master, a voice actor with over 30 years of experience in broadcasting and recording, and the myth-busting attitude for teaching you how easy it is, together, finally, to bring you all the latest technology, superstars of voiceover today, and leading the discussion on how to make the most of your voiceover business. This is VoiceOver Body Shop.
VoiceOver Body Shop is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, home of Harlan Hogan's signature products. Antland Productions, where you can get a killer demo. Source Elements, your source for Source Connect, Source Connect Pro, and Source Connect Now. VO2GoGo.com and Rehearsal App. VoiceOver Extra, your one stop for voiceover resources. Edge Studio, find your voice. And Visi Demos, your audio demo never looked so good.
And now, live from their super secret multimedia studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
And just for your reference, I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop,
or VO. BS.
Here we are.
We are here. We are back for another week of voiceover broadcast excellence.
And we're in a refreshed studio, so we're really
it's cooler
excited
in here.
About
it's nice. It's worked. New cameras.
Less clutter, less gear on the floor.
I know.
Just,
people
it's
aren't
going to
trip over stuff. And yeah, it's going to be wonderful. And we're very excited because we have a great guest tonight.
We do.
A big time Hollywood voice actor, Bill Farmer.
Nice.
Who we've been waiting for weeks and weeks and weeks. We've been like, say, on May 1st, on May Day, it's going to be Bill Farmer.
Getting a guy like Bill on your calendar can be a challenge, and it's lucky that we were able to get him. So he will be here during the show at some point.
Sometime. He will be arriving here but he won't be on the audience cam, though. Anyway, you'll have no idea what I'm talking about here. Plus, we've got some tech stuff to talk about, and we're going to share some stuff from NAB, and that was a lot of fun.
Oh, man.
I mean, we had a great time, but it was digital orgasm time. I think it's the best way to describe
tech-gasm.
It.
Yeah. Yeah, we had an overload after about a day and a half. I can't imagine the people that are there for 4 days straight. They must just go home in a daze.
I mean, so. We went home in a daze.
Yeah.
But we did get to stay with Dave Quivassier, which was also very nice.
So nice of him.
And thank you, Dave, if you happen to be watching. And if you are, you're supposed to be doing the news. Anyway, we got all that. So let's get things rolling here. And it's time for...
And now... The VoiceOver Extra, VOBS News, the latest and most comprehensive voiceover industry news, brought to you live.
Alrighty, for May 1st, the VoiceOver Extra News, APAC Audies Week, Survival Fun Guide. New York City should declare late May this year as Audiobook Week, when the industry's narrators, publishers, and producers are gathering for major events, networking, and partying, anchored by APAC, the annual conference of the Audio Publishers Association, or the APA, which is taking place on May 31st, and the next night's glamorous Audio Awards Gala. Note, if you don't already have a ticket to APAC, think next year for attending. It's sold out. And the Audio Awards Gala tickets, if still available, are $450 for APA members, $550 for non-members. But that doesn't just leave you out on the streets, since pre- and post-socials, including the infamous Naughty's Night, will have you rubbing shoulders and exchanging business cards. Print more. Many times over. Advisory, your throat will get a workout, so plan your recordings accordingly. Use your indoor voice. Now, our good friend Tom Deere has been following APAC for VoiceOver Extra for many years. And in a new article at voiceoverextra.com, he treats us to a narrator's survival fun guide to where to be in that busy week. P.S., this includes Tom's personal experience savvy on which subway lines and connections to take to get to each venue. First up is where to stay. It seems that the Hudson New York Central Park Hotel on West 58th Street is the unofficial lodging and gathering spot. But there are plenty of other options, including Airbnb and many hotels that are still a short rail bus or ferry ride across the Hudson River in New Jersey. Getting around New York is a matter of how fast you want to go and where. Taxis are pricey, too, so check out Uber and Lyft. Of course, Tom prefers the subway, as do I. And if you've got time, walk. A special walking treat is the High Line, a converted elevated rail system that terminates near the Jacob K. Javits Convention Center, which is the site of APAC. And what's to do that week? Well, you can start on Tuesday, May 30th, with Johnny Heller's third annual Splendiferous Workshop, a full day of info from audiobook narrators and producers whom Tom says share their deepest, darkest secrets about audiobook narration. That night, the APA hosts a pre-APAC networking social at the West 79th Street Boat Basin Cafe. Bring your biz cards to network with colleagues and audiobook publishers and producers. The next day is APAC itself, the sold-out annual conference at the Javits Center. That's another full day of learning and networking, culminating with the popular Listening Lounge, where top narrators read favorite book passages. Feeling tired yet? I'm exhausted. Too bad. There's no time to rest. Get yourself to the informal post-APAC party at the Hudson Hotel. The next morning, you can sharpen your audiobook home studio skills at the Deep Dive Audiobook Tech Workshop with Amanda Rose Smith. And then do rest up for the giant evening ahead. Because on Thursday night, you put on your tuxedo or your best suit or evening dress. I wouldn't do that, but and get to the Audi Awards Gala.
Come on, Dan, live a little.
Okay. Where the prestigious Audi Awards for Audiobook Excellence will be presented at the French Institute Alliance Française. Did I say that right? And emceed again by comedian narrator Paula Poundstone. Or get to Connolly's Pub and Restaurant for the irreverent Naughties, a less swanky affair for people who weren't nominated for an Audi to go, and they can commiserate there. And it's free, except, of course, for your drinks. Now, you can continue your week at the Book Expo America, also at the Javits Center, or go home and nurse your sore throat. And Tom even has advice for healing that. Can you believe it? He knows everything. This article with all the week's details is now at voiceoverextra.com, along with many hundreds of additional voiceover how-to features. And guess what? It's all free. And I did that all in one breath.
Dude, you nailed that one. Nothing like a little rehearsal, I'll tell you.
It helps. You know, rewriting and stuff like that. Anyway, so what's up in tech this week?
Well, we did see a ton of really cool stuff at NAB.
Lots of cool stuff.
And we've got videos that we're going to be rolling out over the next couple of weeks. So I'll save a little bit of that for the video coverage. But one thing that popped up on my radar just over the weekend, which I didn't see at NAB, and believe it or not, it's not a Mac.
No.
I saw a really, really cool PC made by HP Pavilion. That's their PC desktop brand.
Right.
Called the Wave. And it's a sexy PC. It really is. It's really
cool.
And
what makes it so sexy?
And why do you care if it's sexy, right? Because normally don't you want to hide it out of the way and you don't want to see the thing anyway?
Right.
The beauty of this computer is, well, first of all, it's designed to be seen. It's designed to be aesthetically pleasing. So mm-hmm. you can have it on your desk, and it's something you want to look at. I think we might have a special guest.
Yes. The door opened.
And in walked.
I'll tell you what, I'll open the door.
Dan, go answer the door while I keep talking. The thing I love about it is it's a pretty, beautiful computer. It's designed to be looked at. It's very, very attractive. It looks really nice on your desk. But the important thing is really what's inside that counts. And it is a very, very quiet PC. It's designed to be something you can sit right next to a television or right in your office, and you will not hear this thing. That is cool. The word on the street anyway. Beyond that, it also is it's a built-in speaker. It's in a Bang & Olufsen speaker. So the actual computer is the speaker, and the top of it distributes the sound evenly around the room. So I think that's a pretty cool combination of features. It's got a lot of ports. It's got all the ports you could possibly want.
Right.
Display port, HDMI, USB-C 3.1, you know, all that fun stuff. And it has a built-in SSD for the boot up, which makes it really, really fast.
Right.
And it has a 1 terabyte hard drive already in there. So it's already got the dual drive system that you really want to have for a recording studio PC.
No question about it.
And I think it's pretty reasonable. It starts around $750 set up that way. So for the money, it's a really nice way to get started. Do we still recommend Mac? Yeah. We are Mac people. We just find that in general, there's just fewer technical issues to deal with. There's less tech troubleshooting directly related to the computer.
Right. Well, because in a PC, you're like yanking things out and putting things in, and you can customize it, but does it always work together well?
This is sort of the new paradigm of computer design in the PC world. This thing is not really designed to be updated.
Oh.
You know, it's believe
disposable,
you can get in there, but yeah, it's got more of the Mac model of seal it all in there, put the right parts in, and never touch it. So it's a different kind of paradigm for PC design.
Cool.
So, you know, I'm looking forward to maybe getting our hands on one of these and playing with it in the studio. I mean, I know it's outside the norm for us, but, you know.
Well, we can slum it every now and again.
It's got B&O's logo on there. Bang & Olufsen, Bang & Olufsen has their name on this thing. It can't be that bad.
But that's apparently, you know, from my point of view, that's the only thing going for it.
With Apple?
Yeah.
Wait till the next Apple comes out with the logo on the side. Beats.
Ew! Okay? Ew!
It could happen. They do own Beats.
Oh,
keep
cripes.
That. Keep in mind. Keep All that in right. mind. Anyway, that's it from tech. We've got some more stuff to share, though, over the next couple of weeks, I promise. I know we've got video about the new sound devices, Mix Pre 3, that I talked about last time. We'll be sharing that with you guys soon, I promise.
Good. And we have something from about Source Elements tonight, too.
We do. We do.
Which we'll be presenting
be
in just
right
a little
here
bit.
In a moment.
All right. Well, Bill Farmer's going to be with us in just a couple of minutes as well, and we'll be taking your tech questions and showing you how much we know about this stuff. It's all up here. Coming up on VoiceOver Body Shop, don't go away.
You're competing for work with other voice talents, and every one of them has a powerful, unique, engaging voice demo. Your voice demo needs to stand out from the crowd in an unforgettable way. Now it can. Vizzy Visual Voice Demos take your awesome voice demo and add a visual element, reinforcing your brand. Your demo will leave a lasting impression because it stimulates two senses instead of just one. Your voice is your livelihood. You need an effective demo to open doors of opportunity. Blow those doors down with a Vizzy Visual Voice Demo. Visit VizzyDemos.com for more information. Your audio demo never looked so good. Take your voice demos to the next level, a visual level, with Vizzy Visual Voice Demos. Mention VoiceOver Body Shop and get an additional 10% off.
Hey, look, it's the guy from that Source Elements website. It's Robert Marshall. How you doing, Robert?
Showing up, don't I? I'm doing well, Jordan.
We're here at NAB, and one of the reasons we made this drive up here is to see Robert, because he told us there's going to be some cool stuff to see, and he wasn't kidding. This is one of the new things. This is ISDN Bridge. Give us a little tour, Robert.
Sure. So it's basically an advanced bridge where you can be assigned your own SPIDs. So when you log into the bridge, it takes on your SPIDs immediately. So you can give those to your agent, publish them on your website. You no longer have to find out at the last minute what your numbers are. And we're also making it so you can schedule the bridge in advance so that when you need it, you know the hardware is there for you at your time that you booked. If you need to book it 5 minutes in advance, that's possible. But certainly if you know you have a session 2 days ahead, book the bridge, then you don't have to worry about finding out 5 minutes ahead that there is no hardware available for you.
So when you're doing an ISDN bridge, it still requires a physical, actual hard ISDN box, and it has to be ready to go so that nobody else can share that box. It's your dedicated box for the duration of the bridge.
Right. I mean, any bridging service has to have a certain amount of hardware. There's not infinite codecs and infinite ISDN lines available. So there is a capacity limit for any service. We're running quite a few, but we don't want to ever have like doo-doo-doo. There's no circuit available for you. So that's why we're going with a booking system. But essentially the way it works is you log in with your Source Elements user and pass. And then in a moment, you're at the control page for the bridge itself. And you can pick if you want to do a Source Connect Now bridge or a Source Connect Pro bridge. If you do Source Connect Now, it logs in as the guest of your Source Connect Now account. If you do Source Connect Pro, it tells you basically what Source Connect account you're connecting to complete the bridge. You can then pick your settings for the bridge side of the Source Connect, if it's stereo or mono, and what bit rates you want the bridge to have. As always, the defaults are really the best way to go.
So how would I choose whether I'm going to use Source Connect Standard / Pro or Source Connect Now? How would I choose?
Really, it's like if you're a Source Connect Standard or Pro user, that would be preferred because it just has better characteristics. It never does the time stretchy stuff or the variable bitrate stuff. It's going to be a more solid, consistent connection. If you're a Source Connect Now user, that's what you would use. But certainly, as you move up the Source Connect chain, it'd be preferred to use that. So then the next thing is you pick whether or not you're going to do an inbound or an outbound bridge. So inbound would be them dialing you at your SPIDs, which are constant now, or you can choose to place the call. And when you do place the call, you next get to choose if you're doing an ISDN call or literally a phone patch, which this would be an extremely high quality phone patch. So back to ISDN, you can put the phone numbers that you're supposed to dial. So those are the numbers that we're dialing. And you can then pick your advanced settings. Again, the defaults are what's basically mostly used for the voiceover industry, but if you need to, you can pick your exact codec transmit setting. You know, maybe you're doing something at G722 for some reason, or you're doing ADR in stereo, or the clients want to use a really high quality AAC bitrate or codec. So you can pick that, and then you can pick also your receive codec, so how the box is going to receive the data. The other stuff, your line 64, 56, most everything these days is 64, but if you get someone in the fields, maybe they're in 56K. And your sample rate, again, the rare case anyone ever does 32, but really it's 48.
These mirror all the settings that a typical ISDN codec would need. That's it's like a Zephyr Extreme.
These are all
familiar to me.
In a Telos, exactly. I mean, literally. And so the next thing is we're all set to go, place the call. And you wait a moment. It's now configuring the ISDN box for your SPIDs. It's firing up Source Connect. So it takes a moment. Hamsters are running everywhere.
Yeah. When you say it's firing up Source Connect on a computer someplace else,
yep.
It's literally launching
it's
the application.
It's a dedicated computer that's just like each bridge is one computer. And so everything's isolated. So at the same time all this is happening, what you can do is go over to your Source Connect and log in so that you're ready to connect. So you're just waiting for this to finish its setup here, and there it goes. So it says we're set, and here we are. We should connect to SE Sales. That's the one that we're using right now. If I scroll down to my Source Connect, I will find SE Sales and connect to SE Sales, and we are bridged. So once you're in the bridge, if necessary, you still have full control over the entire bridging system. If you needed to, you could reboot Source Connect over on the bridge. You can obviously also reboot your own Source Connect.
Of course, right.
You can reboot the ISDN box. You could drop the calls and redial them if there was, for some reason, sometimes some things happen with
the calls.
They're
all common ISDN troubleshooting things. Redial. Drop the call.
reboot your box. This stuff happens all the time, so you can do it with this.
Right, so basically you now have control to do everything that would happen with a manually configured and run bridge that, you know, from another company. So now you're in full control of the entire bridging system. And then when you're all done, you can basically log out and it'll drop everything for you and you're done.
Yeah, just click log out and it handles the rest.
Yep.
Logs everything off.
You should see that in a second we're going to drop the call there. And bridging made a lot easier, predictable, and without phone numbers that you don't, you now can publish your own ISDN numbers as if, you know, the closest thing to having an ISDN line without having an ISDN line.
Very cool, man. Well, thanks so much for showing that to us. I know you got something else to show us in a minute. We'll go check it out.
Yeah.
But that's a very cool, very well thought out system, man. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks a lot, man.
Hey, everybody, we're back. I wanted to show that little clip, not so little clip, but a pretty comprehensive clip showing Source Elements' new ISDN bridge technology that they've just built into their website. They're one of the sponsors on the show, and rather than talk about them, I thought showing a video of one of their new products might be a nice way to let everybody know about the kind of things that Source Elements does, and we'll have more from them as well. They had another product announcement at NAB.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of stuff to share from NAB, and we can't do it all in one night. It's just overwhelming.
No,
we'll drip it out to you guys over time. Yeah. But
I mean we talked to, you know, people who I wanted to talk to, Isotope, and we talked to the people at VocalBooth.com.
Yeah.
And we talked to the folks at Whisper Room, and we talked to Asden. We talked to our good friend Steve Savanu at Audio Technica.
That's right.
And we had a great little talk with him, and he taped my mouth shut with some gaffer tape and various other things.
We also were there to kind of glean about ways to improve the production of this show.
Which you're already seeing.
Yeah, that's what NAB is all about. We've made a few capital improvements to the show. We've got a new camera. That's the camera you're looking at right now. We've got better lighting. I think we've made a lot of improvements to the chroma key, and hopefully the sound is maybe a little bit nicer tonight.
This is chroma? I thought we were at Santa Monica.
Oh, I know. That's why. Normally it's windy right now, Dan.
Oh, okay.
so that's what we were doing at NAB. It was a great place to gain a lot of knowledge and make sure that we knew we were on the right course with this show.
Yes.
Not jumping horse midstream, staying the course and seeing it out and keeping the studio dialed in. But we took a few photos while we were there.
Fire those off, Andrew.
There's a whole lot of them in there. We don't have to look at all of them, but I can't. That's the set at the live stream booth who had a Airstream.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah.
Livestream had two Airstreams on set. And
big silver Twinkies.
Yeah, and the person sitting in there is Loria Petrucci. I think that's her last name. And she is a live streaming expert and coach.
And host.
Someone that we've coached with. She sat at that booth for the 4 days of NAB doing interviews all day.
Yeah.
Like 7 hours straight.
Yeah.
But that was pretty cool to see that set up.
Yeah. What else we got there?
Yeah. What else is in the queue, man? Oh, there we are with our. We met a few
Townsend
people
Coleman,
we know.
Yeah.
That's all right. Andrew's on it.
Yeah.
We met a few friends we know at the IPDTL booth. There's Townsend Coleman. Nice.
Yeah.
There is Alex McDonald.
And Kevin Leach, who owns IPDTL. Yep.
Yeah. They were all at the booth there. That was a really, really, really nice booth setup.
Yeah. Especially since they had beer.
Pretty swank.
Which we really needed at the end of the day.
Yeah, let me see one more shot. What else we got? Which one is that? That is another one from the live stream. That's another one from the live stream set.
Yeah.
And
Andrew.
Oh, that's the one I wanted to show.
Oh, the virtual monitor thing. Yeah.
Brother makes a HD 720p screen you can wear on your head. A completely socially acceptable way to walk around town is with a screen strapped to your face. No, it's for like people doing like confidence monitoring on location.
Right.
Let's say you're on set and you want to look at a camera. You can look at a camera anywhere you are in broad daylight.
She was very excited about it too.
She was very enthusiastic.
The rep there was like very enthusiastic.
They were over at the B&H booth.
But yeah.
Anyway, a lot of fun.
Yeah.
One tech question, or one tech topic anyway, we'll get to before we get to Bill.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting. I got a call this week from a client of mine, somebody who I work with, and she's saying, you know, I was recording today in Adobe Audition, and I sent the files to my client,
yeah,
and the client calls back and says, there's something wrong with these files. They're they're garbled, they're tinny sounding, there's lots of hissing, but it sounds fine in Adobe Audition.
Right. And it's frustrating these days because you're dealing with customers or clients who are not knowledgeable.
Right.
So if there is something wrong with the file, they're not going to say, you recorded it wrong.
Right.
And then here's why. They're just going to say, there's something wrong, and we don't know why. Now you have to figure it out.
Well, and of course, I figured it out. The second she said it sounds fine in Adobe Audition, I'm like, what are your export settings?
Ah, yes.
And it's interesting how, even though we rely on Adobe Audition and all these other platforms to, maintain the settings that we give them.
Yeah.
Apparently, it had defaulted back to 8-bit.
That can happen. If you do an update or an upgrade to your version of Audition, sometimes your preferences can get botched.
Messed up,
But yeah, that's something to look out for. Always double check your export settings.
Yes, and so she was exporting it at 8-bit, and I'm like, put it back at 44.1 and 24 and 24-bit, and it's like, oh, now it sounds fine.
Oh, good.
So yeah, that's one of the things you might want to always check is, when you like a photographer,
check playback.
Yes, when a photographer comes into the studio every morning. They come and they dust their lenses and they make sure everything's in order. And when they're working with somebody, they're doing, they may use
the focus
length, all that stuff. Same thing with your software. Always good to check the defaults. Make sure, I'm always checking the interface. Uh-oh, wrong microphone.
Yeah, that's a thing in a home studio or a professional studio. You're the engineer now.
Right.
And we get spoiled. Like, we used to walk into a studio and an engineer was doing all those jobs.
They were the ones
checking every setting on their gear. It was their job. As a voice actor, now, unfortunately, it's your job. You do have to check those things. If you're not going to check all your settings, at least check the files you export before you send them. All you got to do is just, once you're done exporting, go to the folder, double-click and open it and just play and make sure that audio sounds the way it should.
Right.
You really need a quality check everything you send out.
Yes.
Or
you contact one of us.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what we do. We help you with your home studios. If you have an emergency, we're the guys to call. And you can contact me at homevoiceoverstudio.com.
Me at edgestudiotechnology.com.
And, if you're here in Los Angeles, we can usually come actually visit your house.
That's right.
Give us a house to wreck. And,
but support remotely. Oh, that was freaky. we're really good, effective remotely. So, you can be anywhere in the country. As long as I can speak your language, English, we're good.
Yes, indeed. Yes.
Yeah, I'm not very good at other languages yet.
But we also would like to have you submit your audio. If you've got a problem or you want us to analyze your audio, on my website, I've got the specimen collection cup. Just click on that. It will send me, your audio through a Dropbox. And, look, Ari's eating. What a dog. Anyway, but we can fix that.
Yeah.
Anyway, and you take, of course, samples from audio. And I don't charge for my analysis, but, if you need help, I can certainly come help.
And I do have sound check as well that you can send your files into.
All righty. Well, Bill Farmer's here. We're going to talk about Goofy and all sorts of other goofy stuff here on VoiceOver Body Shop. So don't go away. It's only getting better.
National quality VoiceOver studio? No wonder. The information out there is mostly mythology. This is the best microphone to use. You have to have a preamp. You need a soundproof booth. This software is the best. Your audio must be broadcast quality. Consult with someone who knows the truth. Someone who's been there, in the trenches, doing voiceover for over 30 years. Someone with unparalleled experience with voiceover studios. Who's worked with hundreds of voice actors and designed hundreds of personal studios. He knows how to teach and cares about your success. In one of the harshest environments known to voiceover, your home. Dan Leonard, the home studio master. Separate myth from fact and get a handle on your personal voiceover studio. Contact the home studio master at homevoiceoverstudio.com. Drop off a specimen of your dry audio for a free analysis.
Hiya, VO friends. You say you ain't booked a VO gig in 7 years, and your demo is so old that you can hear the clicks from the stock music records, and you hear so much tape hiss that you run to the sink to see if the faucet is running, and the engineer used so much echo on your voice that it sounds like it was recorded in the Grand Canyon, and the scripts seem a bit dated too, advertising the new and improved 1938 Plymouth Road King? Is that what's been troubling you, Bunky?
Well, lift your head up high and take a walk in the sun. Your demo can be killer, too. Just contact Uncle Roy at AtlandProductions.com and book yourself a shiny new killer demo. Show your stick-to-itiveness and show the world. You'll never give up, never give up, never give up. That dream.
Hey, you want to know something? Now is a great time to get Rehearsal Pro, because in just a few short weeks, and even getting shorter, there's going to be a brand new feature in Rehearsal Pro that's going to blow you away. We're going to give you access to a new community of actors and voice talent where you can offer your services as a professional to help others with their rehearsing and scene exploration. More details coming very soon. Rehearsal Pro, the app for actors and voiceover talent, is available now at rehearsal.pro/download. That's rehearsal.pro/download. Learning your lines for on-camera work has never been easier, and creating quick, awesome-sounding voiceover auditions has never been faster. And with the new Reader Marketplace, you'll be able to create your own business, helping other actors book more work. That's Rehearsal Pro, available at rehearsal.pro/download. That's rehearsal.pro/download. And also, David H. Lawrence the 17th is going to be starting a new course for on-camera prep for voice actors. So stay tuned for that. And stay tuned, because Bill Farmer is going to be with us right after this.
You're listening to VOBS.
You're competing for work with other voice talents, and every one of them has a powerful, unique, engaging voice demo. Your voice demo needs to stand out from the crowd in an unforgettable way. Now it can. Vizzy Visual Voice Demos take your awesome voice demo and add a visual element, reinforcing your brand. Your demo will leave a lasting impression because it stimulates two senses instead of just one. Your voice is your livelihood. You need an effective demo to open doors of opportunity. Blow those doors down with a Vizzy Visual Voice Demo. Visit VizzyDemos.com for more information. Your audio demo never looked so good. Take your voice demos to the next level, a visual level, with Vizzy Visual Voice Demos. Mention VoiceOver Body Shop and get an additional 10% off.
VoiceOver Body Shop. Learn the latest in voiceover technology. Learn how to get rid of that. VoiceOver Body Shop, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, on VOBS.us.
Or three. There we go. All righty. Well, we've got a great guest tonight. Bill Farmer is best known as the voice of Goofy, Pluto, and Horace Horsecollar for Disney, as well as the voices of Yosemite Sam, Sylvester, and Foghorn Leghorn in Space Jam. All righty. Bill is one of the busiest voice actors in the business. Just this year, Bill received an Emmy nomination for his work on Disney's Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, the Fritz Freleng Lifetime Achievement Award, the first time the honor's been given to a voice actor. Very impressive. And in 2009, was honored with Disney's highest award when he became a Disney legend. They actually, like, gave you a medal?
They did, a little statue, and hand prints in bronze on the Disney lot.
Well, that's fascinating. Well, voice actor, coach, nice guy, Bill Farmer, welcome to VoiceOver Body Shop.
You don't know how pleased I am to be here after some miscommunication. I got to always have a great secretary.
Yes.
My wife tried to contact me. I was coming in from Bishop, California for a weekend of fishing.
Yeah.
And my phone had fallen down beside the seat. I said, I'll get it when I stopped. I never stopped. So I get home. You're late. You know, and here I am.
Fortunately, you're just down the street.
Absolutely.
That's the great part about being here in Sherman Oaks. It's just everybody's like.
Everyone's here.
Everyone's here. 12 minutes from anything. Yeah, except Orange County. Anyway, so Bill, where are you from originally?
I grew up in a little town, Pratt, Kansas. It's a little town of 7,000.
I've driven through there.
You're kidding.
No, I did.
It's so small, once. The town bully is a midget. Those kind of, it's one of those kind of towns. Yeah, west of Wichita, out in the boonies, we had, I think, wheat and tornadoes is all we had for Pratt.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's a little town guy.
So how did you get into showbiz, kid?
Okay. Well, of course, I was one of those kids that I love movies, I love television, and I love cartoons. And in those days, it was three channels, so I'd turn the TV tuner back and forth between different channels. And, you know, Rocky would, Bullwinkle would be on, and, hey, Rocky, you know, and that kind of thing. And I'd go impressions to my mom and dad, and they say, our Billy's weird, you know. Didn't know what to think of me. But I got my degree in broadcast journalism and kicked around in radio for a number of years, moved to Texas and got out of radio then and got into stand-up comedy back in 1982. Did stand-up for about 5 years before finally making the move to California. Yeah. And on the advice of an agent, they said, hey, you do all these voices. Why don't you give it a shot in animation? I came out here. Got in touch with my first teacher. Teacher's very important, who was legendary Dawes Butler, who was, of course, the voice behind Yogi Bear, Huckleberry Hound, all the Hanna-Barbera characters. Right. He kind of set me straight on what you need to do. I got lucky with an audition about 5 months after getting here.
And oh, jeez.
For the last 30 years, gosh, been voicing Goofy. That's the way
that's
it
all tonight, Vince. That's we're done here.
That come out of your mouth. It just blows me away, man. This is so great.
I mean, these were a bunch of roles that were held by other people. She said Dawes Butler and some of the greats. How did you just auditioned and
I think ignorance was bliss in that. My agent said, "Do you do any of the Disney characters?" Right. I was able to get an agent right away, and they said, "Yeah, I can kind of do Mickey if you can do that falsetto." Gosh, oh boy, you know you can kind of do Mickey and Goofy was my favorite, and I was practicing him ever since I was a kid. that was right in the wheelhouse from the beginning.
Just walked right in.
I wasn't worried about the audition because I didn't know what I was getting into. I just kind of
they just said, can you do this voice? Can you do that voice?
And I did that. They used me once. And, of course, there's no guarantee you're going to be used a second time.
Right.
One program, then another, and then another, and then another, another. And I just celebrated 30 years of doing that. So I guess they like what I've been doing.
Right. So what other stuff you've been doing? I mean, I mentioned you were in Space Jam. Not one of the most popular movies of all time.
No. But I was very fortunate to step into Mel Blanc's shoes for a little bit. And, of course, everybody that's in animation grew up with Mel Blanc. And Foghorn Leghorn, you know, and Fluffer and Fuckatash, you know. Yeah. Even in Robot Chicken got to do Bugs and Daffy. Oh, brother, ain't I a stinker? You're despicable. Woohoo! Yeah.
Now, did you have to study those and practice those?
Absolutely. That's how I spent my youth and my summer.
All right.
Most kids play baseball. I'm running around and doing, hey, boo-boo, you know, and I'm doing that. And my parents were really worried. I'm not making that up. They didn't quite know what to make of me.
Yeah. Same thing here. I mean, my mother was like, you're Gerald McBoingboy, just making noises constantly.
Exactly.
You know, or imitating things and that sort of thing. That's why we ended up in radio.
Yeah. But radio was a great training ground, and so was stand-up. Stand-up, because it taught you timing, it taught you comedy, it taught you how to say a line, so it was funny. You have to have a place to be bad.
Right.
Small-town radio is a great place.
Oh, yeah.
Stand-up comedy was a great place, and, you know, it's difficult, but, boy, if you can survive stand-up, I think you can survive anything.
So you did the whole circuit?
I did the whole circuit. I started with... early 80s, Bill Engvall was the host at our comedy club in Dallas. But I started with, you know, Bill Hicks and Sam Kinison and all of those guys.
Man.
Tim Allen from the early days before they were famous. Yeah. Did the circuit all around. But it does teach you timing because, if you know, If you can make a drunk crowd on a Friday night laugh, you can probably make a casting director laugh.
That's important. Yeah, timing is everything.
It's the whole thing. It's the story. It's the character that you're inhabiting. That's the important part.
Now, is Disney still producing a lot of this Mickey stuff? I mean, I don't see it at the movies or anything or on TV a whole lot. Is it just for the Disney Channel?
Mostly for Disney Junior. I have a series that just started in January, Mickey and the Roadster Racers. And we just are finishing up. We're starting our second season recording of that, Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. We just finished up, you know, it's still on the air, and it's been on since 2006.
Yeah.
We had Goof Troop, we had House of Mouse, a lot of Disney series. We had one called The 7D, which was a dream come true for a voice actor, because the 7D is in Seven Dwarves. But for those of you who know voice actors, we had Maurice LaMarche, Dee Bradley Baker, Kevin Michael Richardson. We had Billy West, we had everybody, Steve Stanton, Scotty Menville, it was a dream come. Jess Harnell, and who am I forgetting? I don't want to forget anybody, but it was a fantastic show, and working with those guys brings up your level to theirs, hopefully.
Was Corey?
Corey's not on that show. He's been a guest on that show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Kelly Osbourne in her first series. So even celebrities like to do it. And
right. Yeah.
Now, Disney, you know, tends to be somewhat more formal, I guess, than a lot of other animation, at least some of the stuff that I've seen, some of the stuff that my son watches. Is there a lot of ad-libbing that goes on in those sessions? I mean, with that crew of people, it must have been a riot working with them and stuff.
Unfortunately, at least with Disney and more these days,
it's all
record
done individually.
Yeah, you record solo. So right. I will see everybody in the, you know, by the coffee machine, and then I've got to go in and do my lines, and I don't get to interact with them. It's a little tougher on the actor, but I think it's easier technically for them to take my best take out of five and Billy's best take out of his five, and then they put the, you know, take two and take four, put them together, you have the best of both worlds.
I mean, do you talk about what you're going to be doing or how?
No, a lot of time we just, here it is, do it, you know. Sometimes it's as simple as that, don't get the scripts ahead of time. Quite often I do, so I get to study them and kind of get a gist of the, but sometimes if I don't get them, they hand it to me, and then boom, in the studio, and you do it cold.
Right. But the characters are all very, you know, very succinct and consistent, right. And you don't really vary from that at all.
Right. And consistency, obviously, with a character like Goofy that has this 80-some-year longevity is real important.
Yeah, you're not going to be straying off the farm from that one at all.
Unless it's the director's intentions, and we've done that too.
Right. Well, I mean, like he's, if he's doing Shakespeare or something.
Right.
Like that.
We have a series on now, Mickey Mouse Shorts, which is produced by Paul Rudish, who did Powerpuff Girls and a lot of. And it's totally different for us. It's more Dippy Dog than Goofy. It's throwback to the 1930s. And it's a lot. We get to do stuff on that show we can't do on any other shows.
So. Sounds like fun. Now, doing animation voices. Now, with you, it seems to come very naturally.
Yeah, I was a weird kid. Yeah.
Well, it comes out. But the fact is that it's not as easy as it
looks. Oh, no.
Especially since, I mean, like you said, you got your chops. You know, I mean, you trained as you were as a kid. You did stand up and radio, which you know, you're all alone in radio, and you're all alone on stage. How is it that, you know, somebody who wants to get into it? Because we hear all the time from people saying, oh, I do great cartoon voices, and I'm going to come out to Hollywood, and I'm going to go do this, and that's not the way it usually happens, unless you're here for 5 months and happen to be in the right place at the right time.
Well, the important thing is, if you do great cartoon voices, good. That's wonderful. You can do a lot of voices. You can do a lot of characters. But don't put Mickey Mouse on your demo. Right. He's got a job. You're wasting that space.
Right.
Do characters that you create, different types of characters. The important part is the acting, really. It's like if you can do great voices, that is your instrument. Your throat is your instrument. It's like saying, you give someone, oh, you've got a great guitar. Are you a guitarist? No. So you got a great instrument. The acting is, and that's what I learned way back from Dawes Butler. He stressed that it's acting is the most important part because you've got to bring that character to life.
Right. Tell us a little bit more about Dawes Butler, because a lot of people talk about him, that he was such a great mentor. You know, we've talked to other people who, you know, he was approachable. and that sort of thing. Tell us a little bit more
about him. He was this short little guy with a great big talent, and I called him up at his house. A friend of mine said, oh, you ought to take classes from Dawes Butler. And I'm saying, the Dawes Butler? Yeah, gave me his phone. I'd call him up, and his real voice was kind of like Captain Crunch. He'd say, hi, Bill. Why don't you come on over? Well, we have kind of readings on Wednesday night, and that's like $10. And if you can't afford it, don't worry about it. And he didn't. We'd go over to his house, and there would be a number of actors around a table, and he'd have scripts. And he was the first one that says it is voice acting. It is not voice acting.
Right.
They're both important, but emphasis on the acting, because without the acting, the characters are hollow and they don't have life.
Right. Well, and of course, in voiceover, we have a lot of voice overacting.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Which works sometimes. Animation is akin to stage acting. You know, you've got to be loud enough for the people in the back row on a stage. You have to, you know, you don't have the advantage of using your face, your gestures. It all has to come through that little part of your body right there.
Right. But it also helps to take on the physical manifestation.
Absolutely.
Well.
I slouch when I do Goofy, because I figure Goofy has the – you just want to feel the character. So they always set the microphone, you know, and then I get into my thing. You kind of slouch them, gorge out, and then they have to come in. And now the engineers have learned, okay, put it about 2 or 3 inches lower than you think, you know, and that's probably right for me.
That helps.
That's an interesting point, that you bring your physicality into it.
Absolutely.
You know, it's voice acting, but
you've got to feel like the character.
Yeah.
And as much help as you can get physically it helps the voice and the performance.
Yeah. Now, I was taught when doing animation, I've been lucky enough to do a little bit here and there. When you're doing animation, it's over the top. And to a certain extent. At least that's what one director told me. I'm hoping you'll tell me something different.
It depends on the show.
Right.
The kind of Saturday morning high energy for the little kids, yeah, that's bright colors. That's, a lot of, you know, that usually is pretty big. But video games can be much more real, a little more nuanced. And not all, I mean, it has to be dynamic range. I mean, you can't stay at 10 all the time.
Right.
Some directors keep you at that. The good ones, I think, let you come down and be internal and broad and out there and all phases in between, you know, all levels.
Mm-hmm. Now, you coach.
Yes.
And you're teaching this,
right,
which is a good thing. Somebody as experienced as you and well accomplished that can, you know, share this type of stuff back. You do individual coaching with people?
Yes, I do, via Skype or in my studio. And sometimes, you know, I might do groups, but right now I think one-on-one works pretty well, because I can concentrate on what they need rather than maybe what a kind of an overall thing, you know.
Yeah. Have you worked with anybody who really went on to did really well?
Oh, yeah. You know, what was his name?
one of the
NBC announcers who's gone on to make that, you know, 7-figure income. What's his name? Nolan North, for example.
Oh, yes,
I did his first demo, and he went on to do quite well. And a lot of people. I have a student now who, just after taking classes, went on to get a gig as the Kool-Aid man. And he's actually doing some background voices on a couple of Disney series this week. And so he just started from nothing a couple of years ago. And so, yeah, it can be taught.
Oh, I'm glad to know that. So, let's try a couple of things here. So what are some techniques, say, for somebody, you know, who you can tell has a little bit of talent,
mm-hmm.
you know,
well,
could do Goofy or SpongeBob or any one of those voices that comes out. What's a good exercise for people to really help them find their voice or find a character voice, that sort of thing?
Voice is made out of three parts, really. It's the tone, the articulation, and the situation. The tone is what your throat does. Is it a gravelly voice like that? Is it a high voice like Mickey? Is it that adenoidal kind of a nasal kind of thing? That's what you do with your throat. With the articulation, that's what your tongue and mouth do. It could be an English person
and it can be like that tone, a deep tone, and you put on an English accent. It could be a high person and sound like a Monty Python sort of thing.
Oh, mad.
Exactly. Or you could take that same thing and put on a Western accent. Now, that's a different articulation. Well, it's the same voice as what I'm doing here. Or I could just kind of take him down there in the swamps or whatever. And so that's just different articulation. Then the situation is, who's he talking to? Why is he talking? Or his pants on fire. You know, if he's going to, his pants are on fire. I got to go real fast. My pants are on fire. You know, he's going to be a little amped up rather than he's sitting around drinking a mint julep all day long. And he's got, that kind of affects your emotional state. Right. So that's the emotional state, the situation. Okay. So if you take, like, if you're doing a Western thing, you're kind of...
I could do that, sure.
Now, kind of drop it down.
Drop it down a little bit.
There you go. You got the same accent.
Right.
Now it's just a deeper voice. Well, there you go.
Just deeper voice.
And now if you put it up in the back of your throat there, then you got kind of one of them there sidekicks.
Sort of sounds like droopy there.
There it is. Or you could do kind of a Mr. Haney kind of thing or whatever you want to do, just varying those little things like your throat and your articulation.
Wow, you do that better than Pat Buttram. That's pretty impressive.
Even the bird's impressed.
Yeah.
I hope my crunchy ears don't pick up on the mic.
Nah, you're fine.
Only the bird.
Yeah, only the bird, yeah. So is it? Are you finding as much fun coaching as you are doing the actual work?
Yeah, because it's fun to see, passing on what you've learned over these years. And it's interesting. It makes me a better actor because now I have to explain to someone else what it is I do. I just kind of found out by trial and error.
Right.
Now I have to, what do I do? And that's why I broke it down into, okay, I'm doing three things. I'm doing the throat thing and the articulation and then the situation. So now I can explain to others. And by explaining it, and sometimes I say, hey, I ought to follow that advice myself, you know. And I actually discover a lot about voice acting by teaching.
Yeah. I have a saying, we teach best that which we need to learn most.
There you go. Exactly.
So that's an important one. Now, again, you know, there are a lot of our audiences, mm-hmm. I like to say, in the hinterlands of voiceover, but there's a lot of very talented people out there. And there's a lot of people here in Southern California who are trying to get into animation, and we're all auditioning. And we're all auditioning like crazy, especially for video games, which are taking over like crazy
right
now. It's even doing better than the movie industry.
Yeah.
But what are casting directors and voice directors looking for when they hear auditions?
Most of the agents that I've talked to say that if they listen to a demo or an audition, they can, a demo, especially if they're looking for new clients, they can tell within 5-7 seconds, I want that guy. There is something with it. There's a believability. It's honesty is what it really is. It's bringing that character, whatever that character is, to life and making you believe that he is in this situation, that it's organic. It's not just a voice. A voice without the emotions and without the emotional life behind the character is hollow. It sounds fake.
Right. All right. If anybody's got a question for Bill Farmer here, put it in the chat room. I know for a fact that Antony is out there in Kalamazoo, Michigan, writing down every one of these questions and passing them on to George. And we're going to answer those.
They're coming in.
They're starting to fly in more than we could possibly answer in an entire evening. So send those in in the chat room. And we're going to talk a little bit more with Bill Farmer and answer some of those in just a moment. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Learning never ends.
You continue to grow.
Edge Studio has grown. Pursue multiple disciplines in tandem and grow your career. We've added new courses and a new curriculum.
We picked the best coaches from the community of working voice actors.
A new technology division, engineering and consulting, led by George Whittam.
Follow your dream.
Sign up for advanced learning or register for an introduction to voice acting or foundation studies program.
See it all now
at the new edgestudio.com.
Hiya, VO friends. You say you ain't booked a VO gig in 7 years? And your demo is so old that you can hear the clicks from the stock music records? And you hear so much tape hiss that you run to the sink to see if the faucet is running? And the engineer used so much echo on your voice that it sounds like it was recorded in the Grand Canyon. And the scripts seem a bit dated, too, advertising the new and improved 1938 Plymouth Road King. Is that what's been troubling you, Bunky?
Well, lift your head up high and take a walk in the sun. Your demo can be killer, too. Just contact Uncle Roy at AntlandProductions.com and book yourself a shiny new killer demo. Show your stick-to-itiveness and show the world. You'll never give up, never give up, never give up. That dream.
You're still watching VOBS? VOBS is still on? Seriously?
In a world of audio, two men knew what they were doing, or at least they have you convinced. They put the BS and VOBS.TV. In a world of this is John Bailey, the epic voice, and you're watching VOBS.TV, Monday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9:30 Newfoundland. This is John Bailey, the epic voice, and you're watching VOBS.TV, Monday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9:30 Newfoundland. This is John Bailey, the epic voice, and you're watching VOBS.TV, Monday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9:30 Newfoundland. This is John Bailey, the epic voice.
Man, there's one show that I can't miss. It's called VOBS. And a lot of people are like, VOBS, what is that? That is BS about VO. And I love VO. How much BS is going to be in this show? There's only one way to find out, baby. Man, there's one show that I can't...
Learn the latest in voiceover technology.
Business.
That good old-fashioned acting.
Hey, Paul, I really like your suit. Where did you get it? It looks good on you.
This is VOBS.
Hey, you want to know something? We announced this thing for Harlan Hogan a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
The new voiceover recording light, which you can now see over my son Jacob's shoulder. And there it is. And you can see the light. Actually, it's upside down there.
You get the idea.
Yeah. Well, you know, he had the biggest launch of any product he's ever had. One, because he did it with us.
Well, that doesn't hurt.
Yes, but
got the VOBS bump, man.
It's important. But, you know, it's a great unit because the old one just had a red light in it.
Right.
But this one is really cool because you can change modes on it and it will go back to that shot, Andrew. There we go. You know, you can change modes. It will change colors. There are over 20 colors in this thing. You know, and it'll do it fast. It'll do it slow. It will be just one color. The funny thing is, though, is that an unscientific survey finds that female users choose purple as their choice of the 20 colors available, and males split evenly between traditional red and uber cool blue.
Oh, interesting. So women are the yin and the blend of the yin and the yang, the red and the blue.
That's exactly what it is. Now, one talent ordered two signs so both his mother-in-law, who lives with him, and his wife would know to keep a lid on the sound when he's recording. Two signs. We have one in front of her room, one in front of his wife.
Very smart.
One in the kitchen.
You know, I did notice one little thing that wasn't mentioned last time.
Yeah.
I thought this was an IR remote control because it has a little light on the front.
No.
It says it's an RF remote. And that's an important distinction because that means this remote will work through walls. This is not a line of sight remote. So it's infinitely more useful now.
Yes.
You can have the sign outside, you can have this inside, and it will control the sign through the wall. So cool feature, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Harlan comes up with all this cool stuff, you know?
You got to lean in if you want to be on camera.
Yeah. Well, there we go. Yeah, we turned out the lights in here so I could could actually see it because it disappeared last time. Even though it disappeared, it still sold like crazy. And one of the reasons is that the price is so much cheaper than the original that just had a fluorescent bulb in it. It used to be $79. Now it's just $49.
Better, cheaper, and cooler.
And faster.
That actually can happen.
That's right. And so go over to voiceoveressentials.com right now and order yours while the introductory price is still in order. And you too can have your voiceover recording sign outside your studio telling everybody that they need to shut up. And we'll be right back with Bill Farmer right after this.
You're competing for work with other voice talents, and every one of them has a powerful, unique, engaging voice demo. Your voice demo needs to stand out from the crowd in an unforgettable way. Now it can. Vizzy Visual Voice Demos take your awesome voice demo and add a visual element, reinforcing your brand. Your demo will leave a lasting impression because it stimulates two senses instead of just one. Your voice is your livelihood. You need an effective demo to open doors of opportunity. Blow those doors down with a Vizzy Visual Voice Demo. Visit VizzyDemos.com for more information. Your audio demo never looked so good. Take your voice demos to the next level, a visual level, with Vizzy Visual Voice Demos. Mention VoiceOver Body Shop and get an additional 10% off.
And we are back with Bill Farmer.
I'm glad to be here.
I'm sure you're glad to be here. We're getting questions. We have tons of questions coming in from our voluminous audience out there in the internet land. And, George, what kind of questions we got here?
Well, coming in, let me tell you.
All right.
I got too many distractions coming in from the chat room. Stop talking to me. I'm on the air. from the audience, one question that came in, the first one, came in from Paul Stefano. And he said, Goofy is close to Bill's natural speaking voice, at least in pitch. Does Bill find it's easier to do a character like that? Or is it easier to maintain a character that is completely different than your normal speaking voice?
Actually, I find it easier to do a character that is totally different because you can go wild with it and there's nuances with your own voice that can creep in. If I'm going to do a Wolfman Jack voice, way down there. That's way down. Oh, baby. That's just 180 off of mine, and you can just snap into it. Something that's similar to mine, a Midwestern accent. It took me years to try and get a Johnny Carson impression.
Yeah.
And that's fairly similar to the Midwest Nebraska thing.
Right.
But it's more about the cadence of the actual voice. You know, there's a music to the words.
Yeah.
There's a music to that voice. And if it's close to yours, sometimes you can get it mixed in a little bit. So sometimes it's easier to get one that is totally different than your own voice,
yeah.
I find.
Now, have you come up with a lot of original voices for a lot of different?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, commercials and video games, you know, and a lot of ADR and different characters, like as in the movie Sing, and I was a dog reporter, another dog. I seem to get dogs. I don't know why it is. But that was, of course, a typical kind of 50s announcer and that kind of thing. So, yeah, you get to do, but they're all variations on a theme. If you have a template, and, you know, there's only so many types of characters. I mean, what kind of, if you're doing a news announcer, it could be that kind of the Ted Knight kind of very, you know, self-important. You could be the Walter Cronkite. You could be David Brinkley. They're all, you know, they're all newscasters, but they have little things, little bits of business that you can add on and add to and subtract from to come up with a new voice.
Yep. Very cool. Here's one I always wondered, and probably you get asked this every week. How is it that Goofy, who is a dog,
yes,
has Pluto, who is a dog, as a pet?
I know, and I voice Pluto, too. I have as long as Goofy. So, yeah, Goofy's got a better agent. You know,
he
gets the lines, you know. So, but no, it's Goofy is, his original name was Dippy Dog, but it was D-A-W-G, kind of a mythical creature, kind of along the lines of Mickey Mouse, who can talk and wears pants and all of that. And Pluto just got the short end of it, and whoa, that's what Pluto does.
Wow.
But I get paid for doing that, so
that's cool.
That's a Walt Disney question, though. I don't think he'll be answering that.
Oh. question from Maxine Dunn. Hi, Bill, she says.
Hello.
As does Conrad. It was an honor to meet you and your lovely wife at VO Atlanta. You remember?
Oh,
Maxine.
Yes.
Tall, good-looking kind of gal. Yeah. Anyway, my question is, does your wife help you with your character voices? Does she help you practice them, or have you come up with them all by yourself? Well, we know she works with your schedule.
No, she has her favorites, and there's some that she just can't stand. If I was practicing a sling blade voice, you know,
hey, honey, how you doing? And I was coming in and saying, hey, honey, give me a kiss. And it didn't work. No, don't do it. No, she kind of leaves me alone on that. She's great at kind of, running the business side and setting up, appointments, except for today. And, but no, she kind of leaves me. That's my business. And, you know, I run around the house doing voices and she'll say, that's kind of cool. But that's about as much as she does.
Okay. Lovely lady, though.
She is.
George?
One from Kim Handysides. Question for Bill. Who's his favorite character to do? Do you have a favorite that's close to your heart?
Oh, well, of course, actually growing up, I was more into the Warner Brothers characters than the Disney characters. Goofy was my favorite Disney character. But of the Warner Brothers, Foghorn Leghorn. Mm-hmm. I just love... He's way out there. I say, boy. That boy's about as sharp as a bowling ball.
I loved him. I loved that guy.
He was my
that
favorite.
Character.
So, yeah.
I personally like the chicken hawk.
I'm a chicken hawk.
Which is basically a sped up version of Bugs Bunny.
Now say it, boy. You have to get the looping
going.
I'm a
chicken hawk.
Yeah. Uncle Roy has a great question for you. Actually, a request, apparently. Okay. Ask Bill to please sing Goofy's theme song.
Oh, that goes back to even before he was Goofy in a cartoon called, I think, The Ant and the Grasshopper. Pinto Colvig, who originated the voice, did the grasshopper in Goofy's voice. And it was, oh, the world owes me a living, little old lump. That's all I know. But
and odd, I actually remember that.
It's a great cartoon.
Yeah. Another question for Maxine?
Yes, we do. This one is, question for Bill, please tell us all the juicy details about your home studio.
My home studio? Yeah. Well, I'm a techno geek. I was a radio engineer for a number of years. I had a background in electronics.
See, us radio guys know
this
stuff.
Let me see. Surprisingly, Disney does not use a real expensive microphone on me. They can afford any microphone they want. They use a Shure KSM-32, which is like a $400 microphone.
It's not a slouch microphone.
No, it's not. It's a great microphone. But it's not a $5,000 mic either.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But it sounds better on my voice. So you have to kind of do a shotgun test with different microphones to find what works best on your voice. When we record people, sometimes one microphone just doesn't work and another one does. And so I have quite a few microphones and use them for different characters. I use an 1176 Universal Audio Interface, which is the same one Adele uses. It's the it's a great compressor and limiter. And limiter is really important if you do loud cartoon voices. You don't have to sit there and just, you know, it kind of levels out.
Ride the levels the way we used to do radio.
Yeah. So other things, gosh, I still have my old Atari reel-to-reel in the corner. I don't use it, but it looks good.
What do you like to record with? What software?
I use Adobe Premiere, for video editing, which I also do, and the Adobe Audition. Group. So Adobe Audition is what I do on my auditions. And my son's Pro Tools certified, so he uses Pro Tools, and he asked me not to open any of his projects lest I destroy them. So I use a different, but about anything will work. I've used GarageBand, SoundForge for many years, but I use a Mac, and I heard you talk about that. So I use a Mac, an iMac, actually, to record with, and an Apollo 8 interface because he has to mic drums. So he's got to have several microphones, but it's a great little interface.
Oh, I love that thing. Yeah. Big fan. I just love that Disney, that just says a lot about the engineers at Disney. Like, they're not going to just say, well, it's Bill Farmer, we need to get the most expensive mic. They're going to use the right mic.
A lot of studios will use an 87, Neumann U87, which is kind of a typical microphone you'll find at a studio. Great microphone, and I sound good on that. But they did a big shootout, and this little $400 mic came out on top.
Well, I know that mic works well because it's not a very hyped mic. It's relatively flat.
Mm-hmm.
And the 87 has a bit of a presence rise in it. And if your voice already has, like your voice has a mid-range quality, it has a,
right.
it cuts. So if you mm-hmm. put that on a U87, it's too much.
Too much.
And then they have to sculpt it out. So that makes sense. That's cool to hear. I mean, we just never get to hear what it's like from the perspective of these big studios and what they're doing. I think it's fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, when you're in the studio, A lot of people, when they're getting into voiceover, even in animation, they tend to hug the mic a little bit too much. Yeah. And in the big studios, it's not right on top of you.
No, a foot away, I just leave it wherever the engineer.
Don't touch
him.
Yeah.
And usually, if I'm at home, I might, depending on what mic I'm using, I'll get, the old thing like this, that far away from the microphone through a pop filter. But in the studio, generally the mic is about, usually above your nose, about this high, and probably about a foot and a half away is typically where they place that in recording situations.
Okay, cool. Fred North asks, does Bill do characters back-to-back, essentially talking to himself? Can you, switch that way?
I can, and I have done that occasionally. Goofy and Pluto, sometimes I'll go right into the thing. I'll usually take a beat between the lines. So if I'm, what's going on, Pluto?
Whoa!
And I'll take a beat so we have a little razor room, as we call it, for the engineer. But generally, I will save Pluto to the end of the session because it can have a tendency to, rip the cords up a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And then you sound like the Godfather for the rest of the day.
Not good.
And in the same way with video games, they always save the screams to last, so that if you rip up your cord, you have time to recover for the next session.
Yeah. Have you been doing many video games?
Not recently, and it's kind of by choice, really. I don't go out there for the throat ripper kind of stuff, because I remember, what was it? One of them, I got the direction. It says, okay, the zombie has ripped your arm off and he's beating you with it. And so you have to just do it, just balls to the wall, as loud as you can. And it can really, I remember, it was on the movie The Son of the Mask. There was a dog named Otis. I had to voice a lot of that. And he's being pulled by his tongue through a banister and over the thing. Frank Welker did some of the voices on the same character. And so we actually got to voice the same character in a movie. But that was a throat ripper. And, I nearly hurt my cord's doing that.
Yeah.
You got to be very careful.
Yeah. Okay. Joy Baker asks, how do you watch out for your vocal health when you're doing characters outside of your natural range?
If I'm doing the character, if they're not overly loud and grating, there's things that you got to really watch out for, like the Wolf Band, that kind of thing. It's a grind. It's a glottal grind.
Right.
Or if there's Yosemite Sam's at the "Huzz hate rabbits." That one, there's a grind in it, and that one I can just feel that if I do that for 5 minutes, I'm going to start feeling it. So you just got to do it about 98%. And just don't go 100% because it's just like swinging at a golf club too hard. You'll just lose accuracy. So maintain accuracy.
And your shoulder.
And your throat. Yeah. You just got to watch out for that. You get a feel for it after a while. And you can tell. And it's like you got to do it all the time. In the car, I practice voices because it's a muscle. And if I lay off for a week or two and come back, and even doing Goofy after a couple of weeks off, I'll go, a little rusty on that. You got to keep in practice.
How often are you doing Goofy?
Every week.
Every week.
Yeah. It's something, It's like I did a thing last week for Tokyo Disneyland. I'm in 3 series right now, so there's something at least every week. And after 30 years, still every week. It's a nice gig.
What a great gig. Alrighty, Paul. My son Jacob has a question.
I have a question. Do you have any tips on figure I have a bunch of characters who don't have voices because I don't know what they sound like. Like, do you have any tips on figuring out like all you have is a drawing and you got to figure out what they sound like?
Well, if you look at it, you just kind of think, what would this guy look like or sound like if he's little? And maybe he's got a higher voice. But you could go against type and give him a deep voice for like a little baby Herman kind of thing. I usually go with just kind of what hits me and a template, like who does he look like? And Dawes Butler always said that he felt that he was just a bad impressionist. Yogi Bear came from a guy he knew in Chicago. Huckleberry Hound came from a cousin, I believe it was, in South Carolina. Use people. Use them. If you don't do a good John Wayne impression, do a John Wayne anyway. Aww. Whatever it is, it's a new character.
Right.
One example of a character without a voice is this orange pirate crocodile who's really dopey.
An orange pirate. Wow, that's a good one.
An orange might be kind of bright, because that's a bright color. Pirate, I say there. You know, could be doing the typical type of pirate. And maybe making him a little higher. Who knows? But it might be like that, you know?
He's also really dopey.
And I'm really dopey. He's like really dumb. Yeah, so. Doesn't get any easier than that.
Jake, you can't have him. Yes. He has to leave after the show, unfortunately. I love it. You were saying earlier about how you control the output of your voice, and you know right that pocket. It's kind of like driving a high-performance vehicle, or a car, or a motorcycle, knowing the edge that you can take it wide open.
You just don't want to go you lose control on a curve.
Yeah. That's really neat. Your sessions. I know a lot of this type of work now has gone more towards solo sessions where the only one. Is that the way the majority of what you're doing is recorded, or do you get to do ensemble stuff nowadays?
Rarely, unless it's an ADR session with a movie. I did this dog in the movie Sing and Secret Life of Pets, and we have we just did Despicable Me 3 that's not even out yet. And we're in a group in a large studio over at Disney for that, even though it's interesting, we recorded on the Disney lot, even though Despicable Me 3 is not a Disney film.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of the great scoring stages around. And so there's, 15 of us in the same studio. But just general day-to-day type of things, it's just me and a microphone.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All righty. Paul has another question. What character do you still want to do?
All of them. All of them. Oh, gosh. There's so many that I would, SpongeBob is a great character. I would have loved, and I can't really do that. I can kind of get going, yay! But, Tom does that so well, and I love that. But I love, all of the, I love the Warner Brothers characters. There's and a lot of Hanna-Barbera characters. Rocky and Bullwinkle, I grew up on. I would love to do Bullwinkle the Moose, and I can do the voice, but I haven't gotten a chance. Actually, I take that back. I did. I got to do it with June Foray at Comic-Con. They were honoring her, and they needed someone, and I got to read Bullwinkle with her, but not in a cartoon.
Right. No, but she jumps right into it. I had the chance to do that with her, too, and she's like,
but that trick never works.
I know. And she's like 98 or something like that.
Amazing.
Yeah, 99. Yes. That's incredible.
And still working.
Yes.
Wow.
Another one from Maxine. She says, how do you maintain consistency in your characters? Do you listen back to a previous recording to make sure you sound exactly the same as before?
If it's a new character, when I did the character Doc on the 7D.
And his voice was a kind of an elfish type of voice.
I think of a picture of him. Sometimes I'll actually have a picture that they send me, because that gave me the original inspiration for coming up with a voice. And when I get to the studio, if I can't remember what I did in the audition, I will say, can you play back my audition? And, or I will keep my audition on the computer and put it on a little, on my cell phone or something like that to play it back right before I go in. Oh, that's what I did.
Yeah.
But goofy and well-known characters, you're stepping into a well-known character, and I just know those characters.
Cool.
It's in your blood.
Yeah.
I have another question.
Jacob has one more question.
Do you recommend ever, changing the pitch of the characters in post?
I don't. That's totally up. And I know that does happen. With Mel Blanc, they very speeded Bugs Bunny, and they got Henry Hawk. They very speeded Sylvester. They got Daffy, speeded. And sometimes they still do that. That's not up to me. I just try and do it as accurately as I can, and I let them worry about it.
Not your job.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Last question we've got here from Joy Baker. When you're doing your characters, is it important to make the articulation accent of a voice to be authentic and truly accurate in the real world, or can it be consistent, and who cares if it's truly realistic?
It depends. If it's an accent, and let's say you're doing an Irish accent, and if you can do one that'll fool people from Dublin, go for it.
Yeah, good luck with
it. I figure they'll find, I figure if they want a real Irish accent, they'll get a guy from Dublin.
Right.
And so I'll probably wind up doing the Lucky Charms guy. Oh, they're magically delicious. And it's funny, people's perceptions are not necessarily reality either. I did a contest. It was a St. Patrick's Day, and they said, get up and do your best Irish accent. Got down to me and this other guy, and I told a joke, and I won. And I was basically doing the, well, what I say to you, the Barry Fitzgerald, and that sort of thing there. And the other guy was from Ireland, and I beat him out because people think they know what the accent is.
Right.
But my weird, you know, Barry Fitzgerald voice won.
Well, if you have that reference, it's like art. Yes. If you have
you
got to
know a lot of weird B actors, it helps too, yeah, especially absolutely. From the 30s and 40s. They had great voices back then.
Yeah, but not great actors, which is even more fabulous.
Yes.
Just watch a, you know, a, oh, what's her name? Joan Crawford. Watch a Joan Crawford movie. It's like,
oh, yeah.
How did she win an Academy Award for that?
Yeah.
You know, it was pretty weird. Anyway, Bill, thank you
so
much for taking
the
time. And
thank you, everybody.
And running down here to join us here on Voice Over Blind Shop.
It was a blast.
Look forward to seeing you again soon, because we will run into each other in a pile of places.
Absolutely.
All righty. Well, we'll be right back. George and I will wrap things up into a nice, tight little bundle and be right back.
Learning never ends.
You continue to grow.
Edge Studio has grown. Pursue multiple disciplines in tandem and grow your career. We've added new courses and a new curriculum.
We picked the best coaches from the community of working voice actors.
A new technology division, engineering and consulting, led by George Whittam.
Follow your dream.
Sign up for advanced learning or register for an introduction to voice acting or foundation studies program.
See it all now
at the new edgestudio.com.
You're competing for work with other voice talents, and every one of them has a powerful, unique, engaging voice demo. Your voice demo needs to stand out from the crowd in an unforgettable way. Now it can. Vizzy Visual Voice Demos take your awesome voice demo and add a visual element, reinforcing your brand. Your demo will leave a lasting impression because it stimulates two senses instead of just one. Your voice is your livelihood. You need an effective demo to open doors of opportunity. Blow those doors down with a Vizzy Visual Voice Demo. Visit VizzyDemos.com for more information. Your audio demo never looked so good. Take your voice demos to the next level, a visual level, with Vizzy Visual Voice Demos. Mention VoiceOver Body Shop and get an additional 10% off.
Or maybe not. And we're here back on VoiceOver Body Shop. Thanks again to Bill Farmer for an entertaining segment on animation voices.
Absolutely. And informative.
Very informative.
It was infotainment.
That's what we're all about, kiddos. All righty. Next week on this very show, we have Amber Hood will be our guest. Mm-hmm. I will not be here. I will be here, but I won't be here.
You're going to be on Zoom?
I'm going to be on Zoom my wife's cousin Judy's living room.
Cool.
Which we've done before successfully.
Will there be a party in the background?
No, it'll just be Marcina.
Okay. Yeah,
we have to go back to Buffalo for a bar mitzvah, and then my son Jacob, or Lewis, my other son, Jacob's here. Mm-hmm. My other son Lewis is graduating from college. So we have to go to Oswego and get rid of all his stuff.
Well, I've certainly done my share of shows from the road, so
yes.
It's about time. It's your turn.
Right. And then I won't be here the following week. But our guest is going to be Amber Hood, who is an American voice actress in animation and video games. You know Amber there, Bill?
I know of Amber.
Okay. Watch the show, and then you can find out who she is. All right. May 15th, I will not be here, but boy, you've made up for it.
I hope so.
Yeah.
We've got Rick Wasserman and Rachel Butera, who coach together now. They are a unit. And
filling in for me.
That's right. Filling in for Dan. I couldn't get another guy because there's no way you could replace
Dan. It's much better this
way. We went with Lori Allen. I hope you guys are okay with that. You know, Lori Allen, you know.
Okay.
She's going to be our co-host. That's going to be fun.
May 22nd, Sarah Jane Sherman, recently head casting director at Disney. Wow. And we heard that she's casting now.
We are staying in the animation vein for sure for the next month.
Hey,
that's
where the money is these days. You know,
in the valley.
Yeah, May 29th, Memorial Day, so we'll just be waving a flag and eating hot dogs.
Oh yes, I'm gonna take a break.
Yes, and June 5th, JJ Juergens will be with us.
Oh, she's a promo voice.
Yes,
very nice.
So, and if you've got any suggestions for people you'd like to see on the show, mm-hmm. like amazing people like Bill Farmer. Just write to us at theguys@vobs.tv.
Yes.
And we'll go, yeah, we can try and get them.
We always try. Yeah.
We've been trying to get Billy West on here for eons, but or Seth MacFarlane, but Bill Farmer is up there.
Seth's due for a slump any day, and he'll need to come into the studio for the VOBS bump. So.
Absolutely.
It's bound to happen.
It works for Tom Kenny. Anyway. Yeah. Who are our donors this week? And we really appreciate it, guys.
I just got a heck of a healthy one from my Uncle Carl, which surprised the heck out of me. I think it's the first
time. Thanks, Uncle Carl.
Thanks, Uncle Carl. That's one heck of a donation. Thanks, man. We got one that came in from Maria Mackis. She's one of our sustaining donors that donates every month automatically. Eric Aragone, who pretty much donates every single episode.
Every Sunday afternoon.
He never misses it.
Eric Aragone is there.
Super nice. Don Griffith, one of our regular subscribers who's been donating regularly. Martha Kahn, thank you.
Thank you, Martha, my dear.
So nice. We've got a donation coming in from Shanna Pennington Baird. How about that? We have Food on the Floor, courtesy of Jacob. We have Antland Productions, who's also donating. Even though he's a sponsor, he's getting a little extra mojo for his donation. And Greg Thomas, another one of the regular donors of our show. So, Dinah Birdsall, oh my gosh, there's more names now. Michael Martin, oh my gosh, it's so nice to have all of you supporting the show ongoingly like this.
It helps a lot, so, you know, and that helps us with the improvements that we put in here.
It does.
And it, as you can see, the show looks fabulous.
We've made some improvements.
Just a few.
I think it's working out.
Yeah, and it's make things easier for Andrew as well.
Yeah.
You can buy VOBS logo stuff, especially the coffee. You got to have a VOBS coffee mug.
Start with the basics.
Yeah, you know, and then move up to a T-shirt or a polo shirt and all that. But you can get those by clicking that red banner right above me that says VOBS gear.
Mm-hmm.
And buy some of that stuff because it's cool. Let's see here. Tonight's opening was provided by Michelle Talley.
Oh, nice.
So we're going to be doing a new opening pretty soon. Mm-hmm. And so we will let people know how they have to.
We might even give you the script.
No, just write it down for crying out loud. What's going on over at Edge?
Over at Edge Studio? Well, the big thing that we're promoting right now is none other than moi. That's all you got to know. EdgeStudioTechnology.com. And, I'm doing some webinars right now,
mm-hmm.
and if you go to edgestudio.technology.com and there's a click the tech classes link, and the one I have coming up this week is Twisted Wave 201.
Ah.
I believe that I'm teaching that one tomorrow night, and then the week after I'm teaching Audition 101. So we have kind of a stream of tutorial webinars on DAWs coming out in the next couple of weeks.
Hit record.
Yes, make sure you remember to hit record. Very, very important.
Always important.
And anything related to tech support, edgestudiotechnology.com. We've got services for brand new voice actors to pros that want to design a studio from the ground up. I do it all.
Cool. All righty. Show logs, if you want to find out exactly what was said tonight, you could watch the show again, but you could also look at the show notes that Jack DeGolia has carefully dictated down word for word. Out there in Henderson, Nevada. And
thanks, Jack.
We appreciate that, Jack. We also have a podcast.
There is. There's a podcast version of the show. It's a long show. We know that. So you might just want to listen to the show instead of watch. You can subscribe on any podcatching software you have and just listen while you drive. And if you're someone who's already listening and you'd like to watch the show, we're at VOBS.TV live on Monday nights at 6 p.m., which you may not know.
Right.
Sometimes you subscribe to a show like this on a podcast and you never even go to the website. So
they
need to know.
Right. Come listen to the show live or watch the show live. We also have a survey. Take the survey. It's on our website. It's it's an icon right above here somewhere, isn't it?
And we do actually have a studio audience space. It's not huge, but we've got room for a few of you to come in and be here. It's fun when we have people in the audience.
Right.
It energizes the show. We have snacks.
They eat all our food.
We have a laugh.
those sorts of things.
Jake took care of that tonight.
He did. He really did. I'd like to thank Marcy for letting us be out here in the garage.
Thanks, and, Marcy.
Yeah, our producer, Catherine Curran, for getting amazing guests like Bill Farmer.
That's right. Anthony Gettig, who's been doing the chat room tonight for us.
I appreciate that. And our amazing floor producer, who just gets better and better every week.
And this guy is in demand.
Yeah.
This guy is working on late night talk shows now.
Right.
But he's still here. In fact, tune in to the Late Late Show?
Yeah, the Late Late Show.
Tune into the Late Late Show tonight. Andrew is going to be on the show tonight.
Naked.
In a weird, awkward, unknown cast member cameo that you must see.
I got to watch that tonight. All righty. Well, and that's going to do it for us tonight. Thanks again to Bill Farmer for being with us tonight. That was
a
great segment. And we disappear every now and again, but you don't have to see us. We're just voices. But it's hard work. You got to practice. You got to study with the best, like Bill Farmer and some of the other great coaches. It's constantly learning, and that's why we're here to help you get the information you need and the resources you need to improve your voiceover career.
Yeah, don't let the technology drag you down.
Absolutely not. All righty. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop,
or VOBS. Have a great week, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Voice, and you're watching VOBS.TV, Monday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9:30 Newfoundland.